Welcome back to the Coliseum of Fantasy Knowledge. This is the IDP Fantasy Empire. Going into, for most, some people, championship week. For some people, sitting at home waiting on championship week over to get to the off-season week. Going in, we had a lot of games. I know we were busy for the holidays. I know I had a lot of family stuff. I know, Buck, you did too. Hope everyone got what they wanted from Santa Claus or whatnot. I know I did. Got me a big old TV to watch the games on next year when our team is actually playing for relevancy. Buck got some pretty cool stuff as well. You want to tell them a little bit about what you got?
Yeah, one of my favorite things was my Luke Kuechly jersey shirt. You know how much I love those things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like a jersey, but it's not a jersey, and you can wear it around almost anywhere. I've got so far Khalil Mack and Luke Kuechly, two of my favorite players in both positions.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I got a couple shirts as well. I got a little light up Packers stocking cap. Got to wear that a couple times. Tried to pull someone over on the highway with it. At least got around him. Like, I didn't succeed, but I got around him.
You have good holidays?
Yeah. Yeah, I worked on Christmas Eve, and then as soon as I got off, I drove over to my aunt's house. Played some cards. I won, like, probably the fastest call for your partner game I've ever played. I don't know how many people out there play pitch or know how to play pitch anymore, but call for your partner is you play with five people, and you basically just call out the card you need, so that way you can try to take your sets of 10 points. I won in five hands. I've never done that. I shot the moon once to get it, and shoot the moon means you get 21 points. So, I mean, it was pretty intense. Like, I've never won that fast before. It's crazy.
Speaking of good luck, my family, we actually hung out and played games instead of watching TV or a movie like we normally do. My mom, my dad, my wife, my sister all sat down and played Yahtzee. My mother won the first one somehow. She got the extra 65-point bonus.
Oh, nice. You got the big one. Nice.
And surprisingly, I had really good luck. The second game, I hit Yahtzee four times.
Holy crap. I've barely hit Yahtzee once in my life.
Dude.
Actually, with the actual board game.
You should have seen my wife. She wanted to flip the table, man. She was so pissed off.
I love it. I love it when, like, your significant other becomes, like, just as competitive as you do. Because I feel like Sierra does that when we play pitch. Like, she wants to be just as good as me. But she actually won the second game of Call for Your Partner pitch. So I was pretty proud of her. She actually pulled together. Of course, she had some good partners that helped her out, me being one of them. But, yeah, I like that stuff. Especially when, you know how competitive they can get. Because I can't play Monopoly without wanting to flip the table over. I hate Monopoly. It's that one game, man. It just makes me mad every time I play it.
I'm not really a big fan of Monopoly. See, I can't stand the longevity of the game whenever you can't really force yourself into a win, like
now,
Risk.
Now, when you guys play, do you have a free parking rule?
Yeah.
What do you guys do? Do you guys put money in free parking?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys start with any money in free parking?
Yeah, about 200.
See, we always put a 500 in the middle.
Oh, wow.
See? And some people play different. I'm like, well, that's how I play. You know how when you play board games with other people, they're like, well, this is how I play. Yeah. And it's the same thing like when you play like Risk or something for the first time. Like, well, this is how we play.
Yeah.
Same type of thing. It's kind of like how you play fantasy football different ways. Everyone has their own team setups.
Yeah. Do you want to jump right into business?
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
All right, guys. We've been putting on this podcast for free for the longest time. A lot of our listeners have mentioned that they wouldn't mind donating or being supportive of a pay structure. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of come up with one. We're going to be offering premium podcast. That's going to be most of our podcast. Unfortunately, it's going to be $2 a year. We're looking to do this on Podbeam. But it's going to be forwarded to you users that are subscribers. We're going to get away from SoundCloud. It's the same price, honestly.
Yeah, which SoundCloud's been good to us. I mean, they've been really good, but Podbeam's been a goal of ours since, at least a goal of mine since I've started the show, and we've both kind of grown in, because I mean, I use the app all the time on my phone, so I'm feeling like if I'm using it, you guys got to be using it too.
Yeah. And another thing we've been working on is our website. It's one of our announcements we were actually talking about throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned it on Twitter.
Under construction.
Yes.
Got the little hard hats and everything.
Yes. It is going to become available on the 5th of January. on that website. We're going to have weekly ranks throughout the season. We're going to have our dynasty ranks and our ranks going into 2018.
Yeah, because we all know, we know that ranks are very important, and we haven't been able to really have the media or the platform to put them up there every week like we want to, besides just on Twitter. So this will give us, again, more in-depth. And we're going to be working on it a lot harder. Now that we actually have a platform to go on to, you're going to see a lot more stuff. And we're giving, you know, we've been doing a lot of stuff just over the air, telling you guys and just being a little active on Twitter. But now we're going to actually have a website for you guys to go to, you know, pay a small subscription fee compared to the other places and get more information than the other places.
Yeah, I'm going to give a big shout out to all of our donors. This idea really started with us just being fans of football. We were just sitting around talking about how we should provide content because we didn't feel like we were being served correctly.
Yeah, and it was just a, not necessarily a lack of quality, but just the fact that we needed gems. We needed gems deep down in the mines, and they're giving us gems that were already in museums.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you hear a lot of them come out and say, oh, like, Luke Kuechly's going to have a good week, we're like, well, God, I hope so. He was, like, the first pick in most of our drafts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and again, we'll always have our draft kit. We plan on starting that out at $10.
I promise you, just from doing my own research on it, our draft kit has so much depth in it. And we give you stuff that you may not even think of going into your actual stats and who you draft. Yeah. Like the big one that we've harked on all year is the stat cruise. You know, that's something that's not out there for a lot of people, and a lot of people don't know about it. But with just that little bit, you're going to get a lot of stuff that's going to give you a competitive edge against all your other league mates.
Yeah. And we've also got our GoFundMe. It's always available. We've thought about the idea of Patreon. Let us know if you're interested in that or if you use Amazon enough that you would consider putting our name down and giving us something back out of your total sales. It doesn't affect you. You don't pay an extra amount. Just a portion of your purchase goes to us. Jumping right in, Paul, you want to take defensive line?
Yeah, I'll take defensive line. No coaching news yet this week. Black Monday will be next week, so hopefully some coaches pop up on there, like Dom Capers, you know, just saying, just some people out there seeing what's going on. But anyway, going into defensive linemen, we had the Rams.com, Matt Longacre, offensive or outside linebacker slash DN for the Rams, was placed on IR with a back injury. Kimberly Martin reported that Ziggy Hood, nose tackle for Washington, was out with the season for a fractured elbow. Again, they're not playing for much, so, I mean, you're going to see a lot of these guys go on IR. Jets.com, Muhammad Wilkerson, defensive end for the Jets. Of course, you know who that is. Sat to minimize risk of injury slash guaranteed money. Again, their defensive lines are kind of in flux with the non-traveling, with the sitting. You see a lot of that going on. And that kind of leads into Coney Ealy. The New York Advanced Media kind of announced that the Jets are discussing a contract extension with him. I think a lot of his numbers are boosted by the fact that Wilkerson and just some other injuries on that offensive line or defensive line has really kind of helped boost his stats to get up in that next echelon where he could get a contract extension.
So you're down on Ealy.
I'm not necessarily saying I'm down on Ealy. I'm not saying he's not a good player. But I've looked at the last 5 weeks. Either one guy on the interior has been hurt or sat or not traveled with the team. You know, I mean, but I'm not saying he's not going to be a horrible play, but it's just something to note.
Going forward in a dynasty, are you looking to add him?
Me, probably not, because I have better prospects out there.
Yeah. My thing is, I think you can pick him up for cheap.
Yeah.
Right now. And Jets,
are you talking about for a trade cheap, or are you talking about a free agency cheap?
Trade cheap. Free agency, he is probably not there in it. Yeah. In a dynasty. Most dynasties are huge.
Yeah.
Let's go to assume that. So you could probably trade for him for pennies, maybe even a mid-round drop pick.
Okay. I mean, this is something I would rather take a risk on a rookie, to be completely honest, on defensive line, especially some of the ones coming out this year. So instead of Coney Ealy. I mean, that's just off the top. I'm not saying he's not a bad football player, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I would dig somewhere else for defensive linemen. Ian Rappaport's reporting that Alan Branch, defensive lineman for New England, is expected to miss a few weeks with a knee injury, which that will actually go into a bye week, so he should be good for the playoffs, which, again, it's not really matter that much. New York Daily News reporting that Sheldon Richardson, defensive lineman for Seattle, is wanting a reunion with the Jets. He reportedly didn't want to leave New York. I mean, again, if Sheldon Richardson somehow goes back, then you're going to look at, you know, some of these guys are going to cut out completely. I mean, you're going back to the same thing you had. So I don't know if the Jets would even bring him back. I mean, do you think they'd even do it?
There's rumor. The rumor is that both of the parties are talking.
Okay.
So where that leads, I'm not quite sure. Being an aggressive fantasy football player, I would go ahead and jump on him now because he didn't have a productive year this year.
Yeah, so probably, yeah, he'd probably get it for cheap. Texans.com is reporting that DJ Reader, nose tackle for Houston, was placed on IR with a sprained knee. Again, Houston's not playing for much now. So, again, you're going to see this kind of come up through a lot of our news this week. So, Buck, I'll let you go with the linebackers.
All right. Mark Barron and Clay Matthews did not play this week. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to note. I didn't really expect Mark Barron not to play.
Yeah, I expected Clay Matthews not to play.
You did?
Yeah, going this week, just from seeing the practice reports.
Field Yates is reporting that James Harrison, a linebacker, formerly with the Steelers, has been picked up by the Patriots. Does this surprise you any? I'm making a playoff push.
It does not surprise me. Yeah. And if I was Harrison, I'd be wanting to get a team that has a chance to play the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Why would you not want to play the team that cuts you?
Where do you stand with James Harrison fantasy-wise? He's 39 years old.
I mean, dynasty-wise, no. Yeah. There's really not any value left for me. Unless someone is a real fan of his in particular, then maybe pick him up, try to throw him in on a package, get something better, maybe get a little upgrade for the name. Mm-hmm. But at this point, he's a namesake.
Yeah, he really wasn't very productive fantasy-wise with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. I do think he may have an uptick, and it's going to be minimal, especially going to the Patriots, who have struggled in run support. They've been better as of late, but they really need it. Cowboys.com is reporting that Justin Durant has been released. No surprise here. Justin Durant, again, another older linebacker, has been struggling lately. We saw in the past couple weeks that he cannot cover. He hasn't really been a coverage linebacker in years past. You got anything on him?
No.
Bill Voth is reporting that Thomas Davis, his suspension is over. I believe he did, in fact, play last week. I don't really have anything on him. He's still a stud. Again, he's getting older. I'd be looking to trade him where possible, get some younger depth. I wouldn't be looking for rookies with him. I would be looking for those second-year, third-year guys. The guys who are struggling to stay on the field, like a Gerard Davis. Thomas Davis's name, I think, could get you him. Maybe you may have to pay up a little bit, but I'm fine with that. USA Today is reporting that KJ Wright is back from concussion protocol. Bears.com is reporting that Parnell McPhee, a Chicago linebacker, was placed on IR with a shoulder injury. Nick Underhill is reporting that A.J. Klein, a linebacker for New Orleans, was placed on IR with a groin injury. It's tough to see him gone, especially as they make this playoff push. They really need him, but Manti Te'o has really stepped up lately.
Yeah, he really has.
In the games that I watched this week, Manti Te'o was one of the guys that really stood out. I think he's going to continue to produce in the playoffs for the Saints. I'd go ahead and pick him up if you're able to trade now that the fantasy season is over. He may be a guy that I'm looking to target. I don't think they go ahead and draft anybody for the middle linebacker position. I think they continue to work on that secondary. What do you think, Paul?
I honestly agree with everything you just said about it.
Yeah. The biggest problem for the Saints has been their pass rush. So I look for them to get an outside
edge rusher. Which is crazy because all the batted balls they get.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're up there in numbers. I think they're top three in batted balls this year.
Yeah. James Palmer is reporting that Shane Ray, linebacker for Denver, was placed on IR with a wrist injury. Greg Allman is reporting that Ardarius Glanton, linebacker for Tampa Bay, was placed on IR with a broken leg.
Are we starting to see it? Sorry, jumping back to Shane Ray. Are we starting to see a trend with his injuries?
Yeah.
This is the second time he's been injured this year.
Yeah, I know you're a big 12 guy, or I guess they're SEC now. Yeah. Did you see much with him in Missouri?
I saw spurts here and there. Again, I watched, you know, mostly it's the Georgia games that I watched whenever they played Missouri because they're in conference. But, I mean, the thing is he's had a couple injuries in college. Most of them are minor. He had one in high school that I could at least find. So I don't know if it's a trend or something. I don't know what the Broncos – I think the Broncos still see a lot of the upside, like why they drafted him. Was he the first – year that Elway was head honcho?
I believe he was drafted 2 years ago. Okay. So if that was Elway's first year, yes.
Yeah. So I think Elway's going to probably let this progress. But, I mean, if you see him go down next year in injury, I mean, there's not a lot of fantasy value there. So, again, he may be a guy that's a risk trade. Like, he's a guy, if I put out a trade, he'd be in the red for me. Because it's one of those, this could be high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, does he ever get on Von Miller's level? Probably not.
No.
But does he become maybe the second or third guy? Possibly. I mean, that secondary's aging, so the play's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they shored up their defense with that safety, Simmons.
Yeah.
He's been playing.
Simmons is great. I loved it. And, I've harped on him for weeks and weeks and weeks now.
Yeah.
Love the kid. I think he's a great, great prospect they have.
Yeah, and I think another problem is the correlation with colder weather and these guys that lack toughness. It increases the opportunity for them to get hurt or them to sit out a week. So I would be trading away Shane Ray where possible. You too, Paul?
Yeah, I would. Now, if I could get him for pennies on the dollar, then I'd probably go ahead and try getting him, though.
Yeah, and not only his injury history, but his drug problem that we've seen, and that caused him to slip in the second round.
Yeah. But, I mean, to be fair, since he's been in the NFL, he hasn't had very many problems with that stuff yet.
Correct, you know. Correct. Greg Allman is reporting that Ardarius Glanton, linebacker for Tampa Bay, was placed on IR with a broken leg. We've seen an uptick in Kendall Beckwith in his playing time, especially with Lavonte David's injury with his hamstring.
Juan Alexander's injuries.
Yep. Is the move to get Beckwith right now before he fully blows up? Or is there enough opportunity for him with Lavonte David and Quan Alexander?
That's the risk you have to take there. I think Beckwith has the tools to be a solid tackler. I think when he's out there, he does pretty good in getting solos. But I don't know, man. He's one of those guys who's on the fence. It really depends on what I'm getting offered for him.
Yeah,
I think if what I wanted to offer, what I'm willing to give up for him. Am I willing to give up a possible prospect in the draft, or am I going to stay solid? So going in now to the defensive backs, ESPN.com's reporting, and actually it's multiple sites as well. Eli Apple has been called a cancer by Landon Collins. You know, Landon Collins is pretty much the leader of that defense. Apple played zero snaps in week 16. I think this is a big case of a kid needing to grow up. Again, you know, you can't really count on too much from people from Ohio State. I mean, they're kind of unreliable when it comes to cornerbacks.
Okay.
So
yeah, they've all been bad.
But, I mean, do we call him a bad apple at this point? I mean, I can already see the news headlines. It's pretty easy. But
in the Big Apple.
But, I mean, Landon Collins said was, you know, like he's tried to talk to him, and now Eli Apple's come out and said no, he hasn't talked to him. Like, he's only talked to the RDC and I can't remember the other guy's name. But he's only talked to those two guys. He's like, no, Landon Collins hasn't tried to talk to me. I see it semi as tough love and semi as Landon Collins shouldn't be tooting his own horn because he's been injured. You know what I mean? Like, Eli Apple, when he's been out there, been making plays. I understand the mentality of what happens off the field, you know, there's been a report that, you know, he almost walked out of a film session and stuff like that. But I mean, when it comes down to, you know, apples to apples, so to speak, you know, he's still going to be on this team.
The difference is Landon Collins is an emotional leader for that defense. He's been questionably the defensive player of the year last year. You saw how they ended the season, especially with that game in London. And with the whole defensive back core being in disarray this whole second half of the season, with them sitting, what was it, DRC?
No, Jelani Jenkins.
No, Jelani Jenkins. And then Jelani Jenkins gets hurt, and then DRC is hurt, you know? Like,
well, to be fair, he's talked about work ethic with Apple, but at the same time, Jelani Jenkins has done the opposite or the same thing, but he doesn't get any... didn't get called a cancer, you know? So don't tell me like, oh, Jelani Jenkins has been the best, when Jelani Jenkins has clearly given up on that team 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Clearly gave up.
Yeah.
I feel like this comes down to coaching, honestly.
Yeah. When I was speaking about the emotional leader, I was talking about Collins.
Yeah. No. I get that part. I'm just saying, like, that's what he said, though. He said that, you know, the other solid guys have been Jelani Jenkins and RDC.
Yeah, but Apple still has to prove himself.
He's had really good games this year, though. What do you expect out of him to prove himself? Like, yes, he has to mature. Don't get me wrong. Everyone has to mature in their life eventually. That happens, you know. But I mean, what does he need to do? Like, I think he's played better than Jenkins.
I think fantasy wise, yes, he has. But in real life, football wise, I don't think he has.
How so?
You talk about creating turnovers, completely lifting his team. You're on a team that's 2-whatever. You know, you need to be changing the course of the game. Going ahead and making quick tackles after they catch the ball isn't doing much. You know, any cornerback in the league can do that, or is at least expected to do that. Eli Apple was an early round draft pick. He's expected to come in and completely raise the level of his team, especially coming from a school of Ohio State that has a tenured history of producing D-backs. He hasn't lived up to his name. That's where I stand on it.
I mean, I don't know. I can't personally say that someone's a cancer when they've outplayed some of the guys that are rep by the other guys.
True, but you, I go back on that because I don't believe that. But we don't see what happens behind closed doors, you know. It was a treat to see what happened in Seattle, to see Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas talking about how one was playing through injury and the other one was injured, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really see that part until they expose that part. And I think that's what we're dealing with now, is that part is being exposed. And as it comes to the media's attention, people look at it in a different light. You know, people start digging and wondering what is really going on behind closed doors.
Well, Landon Collins is the one who came out and said all this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm saying if you're supposed to be the leader of the defense, you keep that behind closed doors. There's no need to come out and say, oh, this kid's a cancer. Because how's that, if he's already having problems maturing, how's that going to make him feel any better? Like, oh, well, you know, screw you, old man. Like, what do you, like, I don't owe you anything. Yeah. Like, I owe you nothing.
This isn't a cop-out to get out of the argument because I do want to bring it back to IDP.
No.
But I think there's a big problem with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Landon Collins is trying to fill that void.
Yeah.
And I think that some of their veterans need to step up because they don't have a linebacking core. Mm-hmm. Everybody's always hurt. Everybody's always filling in for everybody else. Their defensive line really does carry that team, mm-hmm. and Landon Collins.
Yeah, Snacks carries that defensive line.
That's debatable. He definitely feeds that.
He's taken over a couple games, though, like late when they're actually trying to run the clock out.
True, but the same could be said for JPP. Yeah. Olivier Vernon has been completely gone all season.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on to the next topic. ESPN.com, Earl Thomas went to the Cowboys locker room to talk to Dez Bryant after the game. I don't really know what this is supposed to mean to me. I guess I didn't really follow this story.
Okay, so Jason Garrett's talking to the team, and Earl Thomas comes in. He wants to talk to Dez, and Jason Garrett looks over at him. He's like, what are you doing here? And he was like, hey, he was like, if you guys want to catch me on the field. So he was talking about playing against him. And he was also talking about, hey, coming up and talking to him after. With the Cowboys out of the playoff contention, it's kind of weird. It's one of those like Miami, New York Giants. Again, we talked about the problems in their locker room. Were they wanting to connect after, you know? Who knows?
I'm just confused. But
whether he walked into that locker room, which apparently he did, it was kind of out of place for somebody, like an opposing team member to walk into your locker room. You're kind of like, what the hell are you doing, man? You know?
Yeah.
So that's what sparked that whole ordeal.
So was he going over there to talk trash to Dez or just tell him?
He was, and then he was like, hey, come talk to me, you know? Like, man, man. And a lot of people are upset because they do a lot of this after the game. They'll go ahead and exchange jerseys. We've even seen Bosa and Tambahali talk about rushing the passer
after the game. Yeah, just like, you know, doing different techniques and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just...
It was just out of place, you know?
It's not like Pete Carroll cares, to be honest with you.
Speaking of problems in the locker
room. Right. Darren Urban reports that Anthony Bethea, safety for Arizona, was placed on IR with a torn pectoral. I kind of thought that watching the game last week that there was something wrong. He's probably going to be out the rest of the season.
Is that bump Buddha more?
They're not playing for anything anyway.
Is that bump Buddha more? Mm-hmm. The Pro Bowler?
Yeah. New York Daily News reports that Landon Collins is out for the season with a broken forearm. Good, he can go on more radio shows. Why not? Rob Demonsky is reporting that Demetri Goodson, cornerback for Green Bay, was placed on IR with a knee injury. Just one more. Who cares? Season's over anyway. New Orleans Advocate, Kenny Vaccaro, safety for New Orleans, is on IR with a groin and wrist injury. That's actually, I feel like, a bigger deal going into the playoffs, especially since they're going to probably be the 4 seed, most likely, if they finish out the way they're going to finish out. That's going to take a little bit of the chunk off the top for them. That's one of their... been a fantasy tackler and honestly a good tackling safety, so that's going to be a little bit of a hit for them. Buccaneers.com, my boy Justin Evans was placed on IR with an ankle injury. Sad to see him go. He was probably the best Evans on that team. ClevelandBrowns.com reports that Derek Kendrick, strong safety for Cleveland, was on IR with a wrist injury. Bump Peppers. Redskins.com, Monte Nicholson, a guy who I picked up, of course, went on IR with a concussion, ending his season. So, again, a lot of IR moves. You're going to see that a lot. Again, it's just near the end of the season. So, it's easier to dedicate someone on IR. That way, you can pick up the extra roster spot. So, they'll pick up an extra roster spot, most likely sign a practice squad guy, get him in, and get him playing. So, that's why they do the IR moves, in case anyone ever wonders in real life.
All right, we're going to go ahead and jump right into talking about the top performers of Week 16. With us being in and out of our houses this weekend, we didn't really get a chance to fully break down the film. So we're just going to talk about these guys that performed really well in the top 25 to 50. I'll go over them, and then I'll go ahead and pause and let Paul talk about them if he wants, and then I'll counter if I feel like it. So... leading fantasy in the defensive position was Zach Vigil. He got 31 points, 12 total tackles, and it looks like one fumble recovery. Paul, you got anything on him? I know we've been talking about him a lot lately.
Yeah, you know, he's been the healthy Vigil out of all of them. I kind of thought he would have bigger numbers this week. I believe I said it last week.
Bigger than 31, huh?
Well, not bigger than 31, but I thought he'd have big numbers. Especially against going against Kansas City, the guys who like to run and dump the ball. So I knew if he was going to be in the right spot, which he usually is, seems to be like lately, he was going to be getting some tackles. So it really worked out for them. Again, playing really well, living up to the 56 number. I mean, it's because he's number 56, man. It's my favorite number.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of production come out of Washington linebackers whenever somebody's been hurt. I like this kid. We've talked about it. I think he's just a player for this year. I don't think he's going to be getting a lot of snaps next year.
No.
Yeah. Moving forward, Rashad Jones, finishing at that number one defensive back spot with 30 points. He had 12 solo tackles, 3 assists, 1 pass defense. What do you got on him?
Again, this is just the – this should be typical because Kansas City ranks 13th when it comes to safety tackles. So we kind of expected this. It could be a high-low game. Usually when it comes up on 13th, that's kind of a middle range. Again, they went over the top to Tyreek Hill quite a bit in that game. So I'm not surprised, especially with Kelsey. Kelsey usually gets second level automatically. And Rashad Jones is always able to find the ball.
Yeah. Coming in at number three, the number two position in your D-backs, we've got Mike Hilton, star on the rise, a rookie undrafted player out of Pittsburgh. He comes in with 6 solo tackles, 3 sacks, which they like to rush those safeties and get you those sacks, 1 fumble recovery. You got anything on him?
I think 2 of his sacks, again, I'd have to go back and really watch film on it, but 2 of them is when they're kind of going through the TJ Yates / concussion / non-concussion / on the field / off the field type of deal.
Yeah.
So I think one if not 2 of them came during that time. So they're kind of in flux, so they just blitzed him. But again, the 6 solo tackles, he was playing against Hopkins 3 times on those 6 solos. So, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, they know Hopkins is going to get fed. Anyone who plays Texans is going to know that Hopkins is going to get fed.
Yeah. And he's one of the rookies to watch. I would be adding him in dynasty leagues going forward if your waiver wires go ahead and open up. Harrison Smith, a guy that's been on again, off again for the past 5 years, comes in with 6 solo tackles, 2 tackle assists, 2 pass defenses, and 2 interceptions. Going to move right into Dante Johnson. Paul didn't have anything on Harrison Smith. Dante Johnson's a rookie. He has 5 solo, 1 assist. He has 1 pass defense and 1 interception, 1 touchdown. He actually returns that interception for a touchdown. You got anything, Paul?
Not a lot. He's a young guy, someone to keep an eye on. I don't know if I'd necessarily go be making moves for him necessarily yet. I think the San Francisco backfield is going to change a little bit in the offseason. I feel like they're going to draft a couple playmakers because I still feel, again, this is early in our film process, but I feel like the cornerback position is really deep this year. And I feel like it's deep on a lot of years, but I feel like there's a lot of sneaky talent, a lot of gym talent this year.
A lot of fantasy talent.
Yeah.
We talked about this rookie Cole. He plays for Jacksonville. He's one of their wide receivers. I watched a lot of this Jacksonville San Francisco 49ers game just because of the uptick in Garoppolo's play and how well he's been playing. And when I watched Bortles, I saw a miscommunication between Cole and him, and this was one of the picks where Cole just stopped on his route and Dante Johnson was right there. Going right into Reggie Nelson. He registers 29 points. He has 6 solo, 3 pass defense, 1 interception, and 1 forced fumble. For me, Nelson's always been this playmaker. Getting older in his age, a guy that I'm not going to be looking for in Dynasty. What about you in season-long next year? Are you going to be looking to roster Nelson?
I don't know. It really depends on what the Raiders do in the draft. It's probably going to be a thing I'm going to say quite a bit, but I mean, like you said, I think Reggie Nelson's always had the tools there to be a playmaker. I just think in the Philadelphia game, he was in the right place, right time.
Yeah, I think Obi was really drafted to take over this Reggie Nelson spot. We haven't seen a lot of it. Obi Melifonwu, to be correct. We haven't seen a lot of it because Obi's been hurt a lot, and he's now on IR right now. Moving right into the next guy, Marquise Flowers. He has 27.5 points. He has 5 solo tackles, 5 assists, 2.5 sacks. You got anything?
Former Cincinnati Bengal. They could use the depth now. Other than that, not much.
All right. Ezekiel Ansah gets 27 points. Another player that's on again, off again.
Coming on late this year, though.
Yes, he is. He has 5 solo, 2 assists, 3 sacks against that Cincinnati.
Which is an offensive line that's given up quite a few points this year, too.
Yeah, and they kind of got rid of a lot of their players before the season even started. Mm-hmm. A lot of them went to the Browns.
Yep.
No surprise here, an Ohio State Buckeye. Can you guess it?
Eli Apple?
No, hell no. Marshawn Lattimore. Oh. 26 points. He has 4 solo, 1 assist, and 4 pass deflections, 1 interception.
He's probably been the best PDFI player. He's actually been one of the best cornerbacks for rookies. I believe right now he is notched in the first spot. It's still a tight race. It'll come down to the last week. I don't know if they're going to count playoffs in the rookie.
You got it, number 2 rookie.
Number 2 rookie?
Cornerback.
If you just had to, I always thought we were going D-backs. Crap, man. You just put
mine's
me in
a clear. Adoree Jackson.
Adoree Jackson?
Yeah. He's giving up a lot, like, real life. But fantasy-wise, he's producing.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, he's been pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I try and
look at. If we're going D-backs, total Jamal Adams is up there, too.
He's come on late.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. But I don't think he's really at that tier. Especially when we look at cornerbacks, whenever you can find a rookie like Marshawn Lattimore who can come in and take that spot, he's got the age, he's got the height, he's got the speed, he's got everything you want from a fantasy cornerback, and I think he's going to be good for years to come. Zach Cunningham is our next guy. He's got 26 total points. He's got 7 solo, 3 assists, 3 pass breakups.
Apparently, I mean, everyone of our listeners should be happy because we told you about Cunningham, especially the injuries they've had at linebacker. He was going to have a good game.
Yeah, but one knock against that is I've been talking about it throughout the offseason leading up to this year. I wasn't really satisfied with his size. He's tall, but he's lengthy. Like, he's like a string bean, man. He's not really that thick linebacker that can shed blocks. Again, I'd have to go back and look at tape in these past couple weeks. But he's making a lot of tackles. How many of these tackles are broken tackles that he's just in the area and finishing them? And that's one of those players, like we always talk about, that we want to go back and look at. And what were we missing throughout the season? Mm-hmm. KJ Wright coming back off concussion protocol. Registers 26 total points. He gets 4 solo, 2 assists, 2 pass breakups, 1 interception. One fumble recovery.
I feel like part of it is just from Ezekiel Elliott being back. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helps pad all linebacker stats.
Yeah, not only that, but you've got Bobby Wagner, who has been limited, especially with his hamstring injury, playing through it. It allows KJ Wright to come from that weak side. Fill that gap. We see that a lot with these type of linebackers. Jordan Poyer, a lot of guys were high on him this week. He had 26 total points, 2 solo, 4 assists, 1 pass defense, and 1 interception. You got anything? Oh, he had 1 touchdown, too.
Oh, he did have a touchdown?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I think that was the pick I was telling you about during that game for Tom Brady. Yeah, it's the one that he almost dove to the ground to get. Got up and ran in for like 10 yards.
Yeah.
Something like that, 12 yards. Yeah. Again, Poyer's been pretty solid down the stretch, so I'm not surprised. I mean, the interception or the pick six definitely pads some stats as well.
Yeah, and he was pretty spotty throughout the year, though. Next guy up is Deion Jones. No surprise here, 26 total points. We had one of our listeners ask us constantly if this guy is the real deal. He is, in fact.
He was drafted by yours truly, so you know he's the real deal.
He had 8 solo, 2 tackles assist, 1 pass breakup, and 1 interception again. Drew Brees loves this dude. If he's playing against the Saints, go ahead and start him.
Yeah, for real.
And I think that comes down to speed. You know, this guy is one of those guys that is fast. And he can change his hips fast, and he can get to where he's wanting to go. He has good instincts. He played safety in college, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Next guy up is Preston Brown. A lot of that was because of New England wanting to rush the ball, and I don't blame them for wanting to rush the ball because they're wanting to keep Tom healthy. He comes in with 25 total points, 10 solo, 5 assists, and that's it. Nothing on Preston.
Nope.
All right. Looks like we're just going to do the top 25. This is taking a little longer than expected. We've got Kyle Fuller, a cornerback for Chicago Bears, coming in with 25 total. He had one solo tackle, six pass breakups, one interception. Yuck. That's one of those stat lines that you look at the box score and you're like, I am not going to pick this dude up. You know?
Yep.
He played fairly well in his rookie season. This being his third season, he's been spotty, mostly because of injuries last year. It's one of the reasons why I've shied away from him. The next guy up is Buda Baker. He's coming in with 24 total points.
Not surprised with the injury. Not surprised at all.
Yeah, especially.
And he had that onside, or he had technically the regular kickoff recovery.
Yeah, he had 8 solo, 5 assist, 1 pass breakup. Pretty good outing.
Mm-hmm.
You like seeing more of these points coming from tackles, and you like seeing the tackles consistently being there. The next guy up is Preston Smith from the Washington Redskins, linebacker.
Again, another linebacker scoring on Denver, who's given up the fifth, who's ranked fifth in fantasy points for linebackers.
Yeah, he really is one of your run support guys. He's not necessarily going to be out in coverage. He's a little bit faster than what you see from the strong side linebackers. Next guy up is Darius Slay. He had 7 solo tackles, 3 pass breakups. He's been playing out of his mind all season.
Yeah, it's just Slay doing Slay things.
You know, and I'm surprised they still pass at him. You know, it was the Cincinnati Bengals, and they weren't playing for anything.
Exactly.
Their coach is going to be gone.
Does Andy Dalton ever care, even if they have something to play for?
Next guy up is Justin Coleman, cornerback for Seattle. I was wrong last week. I thought Byron Maxwell would have a good game. He did not, in fact.
I didn't see this coming from Coleman.
Yeah, me either. We won't even dig into his stats. They're kind of all across the board. He got a touchdown and an interception, which really helped him out. I don't think he's going to be a guy you're going to be going after. Corey Littleton, a guy that's been playing really well lately, especially with Ogletree being injured, not necessarily out, but Littleton's been playing really well. He got 23 total points. He got 3 solo tackles, 4 assists, 1 pass breakup, 1 interception. And that's kind of been how he's been getting his points. He's been getting them any means necessary. Am I going to go ahead and start him next week if I need it? You know, I might take that shot, especially with a deep league, you know. He plays a lot on special teams, which gives him more opportunities for tackles. And whenever he's out there on special teams, he's making that tackle most of the time. Deion Buchanan, linebacker for Arizona, is the next guy. He gets 23 total points. He has 4 solo, 4 assists, 1 pass breakup, and it looks like 1 fumble, 1 forced fumble. Got anything?
Nope.
Next guy up is Kenny Moore, Indianapolis cornerback. I haven't really seen much tape on this guy. He gets 22 total points, 8 solo tackles, 1 pass breakup, 1 forced fumble. Nothing?
I know he was on the Mike Evans side, or Mike Evans, good Lord, Mike Wallace side, so I know that he was racking some up just from their dump plays.
Yeah, and their cornerbacks really don't travel from the left to the right or the right to the left. So if you've got a guy who's got a wide receiver and they like to line up on one side and that happens to be his, he's going to get a lot of tackles.
Exactly.
Antoine Bethea, again, he goes out with an injury. He gets 22 total points before going out. He ends up getting 2 interceptions, 2 pass breakups, and 3 solo tackles. Guy that's been pretty hot all season. He's a little bit older.
I think he's feeding off that rookie wealth, man.
Yeah.
And he's just got his buddy back there, Buda Baker, and he's just like...
Just getting that energy.
Feel younger, man. Feel younger. He's like a... He's pulling a little bit of Space Jams. I wonder if he has Buda Baker touch a football before the game.
Man, yeah, Buda Baker on his fantasy team. He's like, man, I got to go out. I'm going to lose. Wesley Woodyard, a guy who has had a career arc like a valley, man. He was really good starting out. He was really bad when he first got to Tennessee, and he's rejuvenated this defense. Defense isn't great, but he's been that guy that's been a leader all season. With 21 total points this week, he's got three solo, one fumble recovery for a touchdown. And that touchdown was pretty nasty. He just scooped and scored. You love seeing that, man, especially against the Rams, who don't often drop the ball on the mat. Next guy up is a waiver wire target we actually mentioned, James Burgess. He gets 21 total points. He gets seven solo, two of which are assist, and one sack. You got anything on him?
Not a lot. I mean, he kind of covered it last week, so, I mean, he hit the nail on the head.
If I'm the Browns, I'm going to be trading Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
Dude, with this play, he's been playing really well lately.
And they're also going to have at least two picks in the top five this year, too.
Paul's going to take us into the weekly matchups. He's going to be hitting on teams that should be getting green light or red light. Go ahead and talk on both teams, each matchup, and then tell us if you're going to be starting players and what position and where.
Okay. All right. First game is going to be Green Bay at the Lions. Neither one of these teams are really playing for anything right now. For Green Bay, you're going to be seeing a lot of backups, a lot of young guys getting in. I mean, one add that you could probably make is going to be, if you had to, or if you are playing, whatever, Dean Lowry. I think going forward, he's a good dynasty prospect. If Kenny Clark is not available, if I go Kenny Clark first, for Lions, not really anything out of the norm there. Houston at Indianapolis. Again, they're not really playing everything. Moore may have the same numbers that he had last week, just because of the fact that Hopkins is going to get thrown at. So, yeah, the Bears versus the Minnesota Vikings are at Minnesota. Minnesota's still playing for that hopeful number two seed. Philly knocked that up after knocking down the Raiders on Monday night, getting that touchdown to Barnett, which we didn't really talk about, but that's okay. It's whatever. the Chicago Bears, again, they're going to give – I think they're probably going to give Minnesota their best shot. For the Vikings, I mean, it's going to be the same guys that we usually talk about. I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of difference or variance in this in the plan here. So I would look for their defensive line to get a little more work, because this last week they were kind of held in check. A lot of the Green Bay held up pretty well. And I just want to throw out for stat-wise, whenever we had Minnesota, Danielle Hunter had nothing on Bakhtiari during the Packers game. So that's just something to note looking forward. So keep looking for him moving on. The Jets versus the Patriots. Patriots still trying to lock down that second seed, one seed. We don't know what's going on with that still. So again, New England Patriots, if you have anybody, if you are playing, start any of their linebacking core for sure. Washington versus New York Giants. Both those are red lights for sure. Dallas versus Philadelphia, red lights. Philadelphia has clinched everything. Cleveland at Browns, red light to the Browns, green light to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, they're still playing. They still need to win out, win that last game to hopefully maybe have the Jets pull an upset and get that number one seed. Carolina, Atlanta, green light this whole game. Falcons and Carolina are fighting for a playoff spot. We said it 3 weeks ago, Falcons are fighting, so start any of those starters. Cincinnati versus Baltimore. Baltimore gets the red light. They're not playing for anything. Baltimore Ravens fighting for a wild card spot. So plan on them starting their starters. So give a boost a little bit on the Bengals side as well. Bills versus Dolphins. Bills fighting for that last wild card spot. So start them. Dolphins not playing for anything. So they're just going to probably play around, give them their best shot.
Do you think they try and play for spoiler?
Oh, I don't see why not. Especially when it's a division rival. You always play for spoiler. The Saints versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, maybe the Buccaneers pull off a second upset because they pulled off one this last weekend. So maybe they get another one done. They couldn't do it when it counted to help Green Bay, but whatever. I'm not bitter.
Yeah, in a lot of these games where the Buccaneers are out, this is just an example. I would go to assume that they would start their starters, and you're going to start your studs. You're going to start Lavonte David, Quan Alexander, the like. Guys you're going to be shying away from is maybe the defensive line, especially with all those injuries. For the Saints, obviously you're going to be starting all the starters possible because they have something to play for.
Yep. Then we also have Jacksonville and Tennessee, both those green light. Jacksonville is still trying to maintain that three seed. Tennessee trying to get into the playoffs. Tennessee's defense has been playing very, very well lately. So please don't take that as a, if you are playing for whatever reason, take both of them. I mean, both those guys are going to be going. And Jacksonville is honestly going to be fighting for the sack record for their team. You got two guys who are tied. You got Campbell, and then you got Ngakoue. So they're both tied. They're wanting to go for that sack record.
Yeah, and another guy is Kevin Byard. You're going to be starting him regardless, mm-hmm. especially with Bortles throwing the ball.
Exactly. For the Chiefs and Broncos, Broncos not playing for anything, but the Chiefs are still playing to seed. Would love to see Denver get a win just because it just kind of deflates Kansas City going to the playoffs. San Francisco at the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are still playing to maybe lock down a bye if Minnesota loses, so they'll continue to play their starters. Oakland Raiders versus the Chargers. Chargers still trying to get that wild card spot. I still don't think Oakland's really a challenge for them. I feel like they should be able to beat them pretty easily, especially playing in L.A.
Yeah, we've been struggling everywhere.
Oh, yeah, and I told you, I watched the last 2 minutes of the Monday night game, and they were getting there on four-man rushes. And not all of that was on Derek Carr either. Like, that was just him not having time to throw.
That being said, that game was sloppy both ways.
Yes, it was.
There were two, three picks back to back to back within the series of maybe six plays.
Yep. And I just want to throw out, Philadelphia locking down that one seed is actually probably a bigger deal than people are giving it credit for. Because think of the top four teams right now in the NFC. You got the Vikings, indoor team. You got the Saints, indoor team. And then you have Los Angeles Rams, fair weather team. So that may that may come into play here in the wintertime because it's all of a sudden starting to get cold outside.
Yeah.
So last game you have the Arizona versus the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks still playing for that wild card spot. It's really going to come down to the Carolina and Atlanta game to see really how that shakes out. They're not going to win the division, so it's not going to really matter as much, but they're still trying to get in the wild card. And they could be a sneaky wild card. If they get in, they could be dangerous because they may actually be healthy by the time they start the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or healthy-ish. So, again, that pretty much covers this week's games. So, moving on. Again, we talked about earlier the website. We're still working on it. Work in progress. It's going to be beautiful. You guys are going to love it. You're going to automatically subscribe. I already know it. I feel it in my bones. My bones are never wrong, so.
I think it will be the most aesthetically pleasing website you're going to see from an IDP company.
Yes, it will. In case the ladies are wondering, it's not going to be pictures of our faces and beautiful bodies all the time.
We do plan on having a picture of us on our About Us page.
Yes, we do.
Our website will go live on the 5th. You guys can check it out. It's idpfantasyempire.com. You won't be able to see it until the 5th. Throughout the offseason, we'll talk about players we're going to reevaluate. Right now, we're going straight into draft prep, and that's all going to be on our premium podcast. Again, it's going to be $2. That's the price point we're looking to set it at. It may have to be $5, depending on how low we can go with that setting. If all of our listeners go ahead and get that year-long podcast, that would go ahead and fund the website. And that's really the only thing we're trying to pay for. Everything else goes into our pocket. Exactly. We are trying to make somewhat of a profit, but this has been a lot of donor support from you guys. And thankfully a lot of Christmas gifts because we've shown our families how much we care about this. And hopefully you guys
care. Actually, my mom said the other day, she's like, I need to realize that on Sunday you're doing film study and I should leave you alone.
Yeah.
It's like, finally, it only took you till week 14 to realize that, or week 15 to realize that.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys see our commitment, and you guys see it paying off in your fantasy leagues. Hopefully we brought a lot of you guys championships. And it doesn't happen with us alone. You guys are getting out there, and you're taking what we're saying, you're synthesizing it, and you're becoming empowered, you know. Again, we don't want to take all the credit for it. We just like being there for you guys. It's really satisfying to get those emails to say, hey, you guys helped me win my championship, because it really puts a smile on our face.
Yeah, it really does.
And that's one of the reasons why we are operating right above cost, is because we love doing this. We love just sitting around talking football with each other, especially.
Yeah. Ad nauseam. If you ask our girlfriend or wife, nauseam.
Yeah, especially in your guys' presence. You know, it really does mean something to us. Paul, you got anything
closing up? No, I think we kind of talked about we're going to try to do something next week. Again, it's going to be kind of hard. We have a lot of holiday stuff coming up still. Yeah. We might do something just real light. I know right now I've already turned my focus to more of the scouting. I've already been through a couple guys who I'm really excited about going into this draft season. So a lot of guys who, I don't know, I'm interested. The defensive line's kind of growing on me the more film I watch on these guys. They're just going to be where I'm going to rank them. It's going to be the fun part. And for me, I get all giddy. I have a smile on my face talking about it now. Like, I love talking about prospects because it's just the what-if game. Like, who do they go to? What role do they play once they're drafted there? Like, what all shakes down?
Yeah, and you'll see that movement across the board as we get closer to the draft. And once the draft actually hits, you'll see how our fifth guy may slide into our first. And that may just be based on opportunity. A guy I was really high on this year was Glasgow, coming out of Michigan, the defensive tackle. He went to the Baltimore Ravens, where they're typically going to be running a 3-4. He's not going to get a lot of playing time just because of the studs they have right now. But I went ahead and moved him back in my defensive line, or defensive tackle spot, as we progressed. Again, we've got a lot of light podcasts coming up as we move towards the draft prep. And we start watching more film on these rookies coming in. All those are going to be on our premium podcast. We plan on getting all the light versions out for free. And all the heady, in-depth stuff is going to be in our premium podcast. Because you are going to be getting what you pay for.
Exactly. That's exactly what we've been trying to. So as always, as we finish off every show, go start building your empire today.